Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bulbacast, Season 2, Episode 4. I am joined by Archaic, Bulbagarden Webmaster.
Hi, everyone.
PP and Steve, Webmaster of Pokemon Palace Network.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Satoshi-kun, Bulbagarden Chat Owner.
That'd be me.
And Great Liver, Bulbagarden Chat Regular.
Hey, everybody.
All right, we're going to start off with you, Great Liver. Since you are our first call-in of the evening, what are your questions for us?
I've actually got two questions, so I guess I'll just do one of them now.
All right.
I just think there were Team Galaxy in the anime, aside from the movie that's coming up.
I don't believe Team Galaxy or Gingadon has yet to make an appearance, although it is still early on in the series, and it was pretty late when Team Aqua first made an appearance in Hoenn, so...
Yeah, they'll pop in somewhere just to make a guest appearance, I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to make a bold prediction and say that they'll probably appear around when Satoshi battles Natane in Hakutai City. What was your second question?
Well, on the other one, I'm just thinking that since the next movie is basically the whole plot of Team Galaxy, that do you think there's anything else for them to really be doing in the anime?
They might involve the psychic trio, that's in Diamond and Pearl. I don't remember their...
Unless they're going to put them in this movie. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time they've put in a minor legendary group.
They always find something new to make the villains do, no matter who they are, what they
that's
are, what
true.
Their purpose is. I think Team Rocket has gone from good to being bad. We're actually started bad. They're actually good in, what was it, Pokemon 2000. And then they go back to being their rotten selves. They are very, very, very good at keeping characters or groups going for years.
Right.
In a way, they're kind of, in a way, what Satoshi was saying, they're kind of tweener characters, whether they're not really... hugely bad they're not really bad or really good. They're just kind of in the middle, not evil or... All right, anything else, Great Liver, or...?
Well, I guess I'll just have my other question.
Right.
Do you think we're going to see any more anime of the Pokemon Mysterious Dungeon like we had, at least here in America?
Doubtful.
Very doubtful.
Honestly doubtful.
Yeah, I'll give a little bit of a comparison. There was actually a Chrono Trigger OVA... And it was just a one-shot OVA deal, and it seemed like it could have been, you know, a show that kept going, just like the Mystery Dungeon episode, but never did. And that could be kind of what's going to happen with this just one-shot episode of Mystery Dungeon.
Now, in a speculation aspect, it would be nice to have another OVA of Pokemon.
It would be wonderful.
No, we could,
Well, they did have the manga of it, which was pretty short, but it was pretty good also.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But,
all right. Thank you very much, Great Liver, for your questions.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right. See you later.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Let's get in our next call-in, Pokemon Trainer Lisa. So let's get her in here. All right.
Please welcome Pokemon Trainer Lisa to the chat.
Welcome, Lisa, to the Bulbacast.
Okay.
Let's try and make your questions quick so we don't have too much background noise.
Right, right.
Welcome to Bulbacast.
Yeah. Okay. My first question is, in the anime, how do beginning trainers receive their first Pokemon if they do not live in the same town as the professor? How does that work? Would they would they travel to the nearest Pokemon laboratory, or would they just go to a Pokemon center?
I believe they would go to the nearest professor.
That
would be my guess.
I'm going to have to say the nearest Pokemon Center. I don't remember the episode number, but I know at least once we've seen a Joy who had Pokemon to give out to people.
Hmm.
All right.
I can't remember when it was. I think it's a fairly old episode, but
it's,
there was a Joy.
In the dub version, it was the episode where Ash and Max were put in charge of 3 starter Pokemon for the Pokemon Center. In the dub version, it was called Having a Winged Lord of a Time.
That wasn't the episode I was thinking. The episode I was thinking was earlier, but that's another example. That's good. That's 2 examples of it. So.
And what's your next question?
My next question is, okay, I don't know much about the Japanese version, but something keeps bothering me. Why is Ash participating in contests now? Does that have anything to do with becoming a Pokemon Master? Or what's his reasoning beyond that?
I think it's to give him more depth.
Once you're towards the top, you still have to continue fighting to keep your place. And also, what would the anime be without contests?
Yeah.
It's fan service.
Yeah.
It's the closest thing Pokemon's ever going to be to Dragon Ball Z.
It can't hurt his training.
I just think it feels a bit strange. It seems a bit strange for Ash to be doing contests, though, because he's more of a battle type person, and contests aren't really focused on battles very much.
He has to keep his skills up so that they don't get rusty.
Think of it like cross training.
I just think it seems like sort of a sidetrack. He's getting sidetracked by that or something.
No,
I don't know.
No, he's expanding his horizons. He's bonded with his Pokemon. Mm-hmm. As Archaic said, it's like, think of it as cross training. You know, you get better by doing something related to what you do.
Swimmers go and do running because that improves the strength of their legs.
All kinds of reasons why he could be doing it.
Yeah.
But really, I think it's just because of the fans.
It could just be because he thought it looked fun.
Yeah.
He was jealous. He got left out because he's sitting in the audience watching all them contests all the time.
I never thought about that before.
You know, why should I be out here watching when I could be in there doing?
Right, you're winning. That's Ash for you right there.
Ash likes to win at everything he does, so, you know.
Alright. Thank you very much, Pokemon Trainer Lisa, for answering your questions, and we'd like to have you on longer, but obviously the circumstances are kind of preventing that.
We appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Thank you. All right. Bye.
Good night, Lisa.
Okay.
Great. Another good call.
Okay, well, quickly before we go on, I do want to get on with that stuff I mentioned to you all earlier. As I would hope most of the people listening to this cast will be aware, though that might not be the case, Bob Garden had a number of competitions running over the holiday period, the art competition and the holiday raffle. I'm just like to announce the winners of those today. The art competition prizes had changed since we originally announced them. Unfortunately, what we had intended to offer as the grand prize was sold out at the time we went to purchase it. So first prize, instead of receiving that Pokemon 2007 art calendar, you'll instead be receiving basically any item or items of your choice up to $15 US total value from PokemonCenter.com, along with everything else that the other runner-up prize winners are getting. Basically, all the prize winners are getting a custom piece of art from one of our judges of the competition, which were RG, Kasumi, and Pi. Basically, you get to choose which judge, only one judge each, and each judge only one time. Grand prize winner first, then second, then third. And each of the prize winners also received extra raffle tickets for the main holiday raffle. So, our grand prize winner is PDU Togepi, followed by Olivia Bart in second place, and Jiggly Summer in third. Now, as for our main holiday raffle, we didn't have quite as many people as we would have liked entering this, but we certainly had quite a lot of entries from the people who did enter, about 211 tickets in all. Picking randomly from this, we've got ticket number 189. Now, since none of you actually had your ticket numbers before, you have no idea who that is. That's Rain. I believe received his tickets when he donated $10 US towards Bulba Garden's donation drive back in December when we needed money to upgrade the server and add more RAM. So, as you probably know, the prize for that holiday raffle is anything you want up to the value of $30 US from PokemonCenter.com.
And stay tuned for our next contest, which will be announced soon.
Yes. When are we announcing that? Next week or the week after, do you think?
I don't know. A couple of weeks, I'm sure.
was a fairly large week for Pokemon news, of course. We did have the actual box art for Pokemon Diamond and Pearl's English release first leaked on Nintendo.com, which was quickly hushed up before they threw them over on Pokemon.com with their update for Diamond and Pearl, which does actually link into the next thing I'm about to tell you. Basically, the big thing with the box art there, we already knew actually what the boxes would look like since we saw the Japanese versions. No real big differences there. The main thing is just that we do actually have final confirmation that, yes, the English versions do have all the same Wi-Fi capabilities as the Japanese ones did. There's no issues there like some people were rumouring. And I mean, I have no idea where that started. I mean, maybe they were comparing it to what happened with Crystal, but it's a very different situation here, and obviously they haven't actually removed any functionality. As for the second thing, Pokemon.com this week did reveal the code needed to open up the Manaphy Egg mission in Pokemon Ranger. Now, as I'd assume most people listening to this cast would know, there's no actual way to catch Manaphy in Diamond and Pearl. You have to actually transfer it from Pokemon Ranger over to the game. So now, when you get Diamond and Pearl, you'll actually be able to get this guy. And you'll actually be ahead of the Japanese there, because I'm pretty sure they didn't even have the Manaphy code when Diamond and Pearl was released over there. You guys are going to. Well, good luck beating the Manaphy Egg mission before Diamond and Pearl comes out in any case. Okay, the code to unlock the Manaphy Egg mission, which you have to enter in the password entry option of RangerNet, is P8M. 2-9-D-6-F-4-3-H-7.
Repeat.
P-8-M-2-9-D-6-F-4-3-H-7.
Bingo.
All right. And now it's time for the question of the week. Last week's question was, what would you like to see in the third installment of Diamond and Pearl? Sketch wants a non-DS to DS version of the Underground. As far as she knows, the DS uses more battery power doing stuff such as the DS to DS and DS to Wi-Fi. Despite the fact that it's supposed to be a group thing, sometimes there's no group to do it with. That would be kind of interesting. But they'd really
have to agree with him what he says about the batteries.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But if you got yourself a good DS Lite, those batteries do last quite a while.
Indeed.
Yeah, but if you've got yourself a DS Bat that's now 3 years old and has been recharged however many times, it's painful. Trust me. Interesting tangent, but getting back to the question of the week,
okay.
I don't know what other people have said here, but
all right.
What I'd like to see is, I suppose, better online battle match.
Absolutely. I would agree with that, even though I don't play online. They do need to fix it.
And actually, also along that line, while you can form your teams and or clans or whatever name they're going to call them in the English version with people you know in real life and have done actual trades to in real life, you can't do that with people online who you've only got the friend code of. And that should really be in there.
Yes.
Okay.
There's no reason you can't do that. It's ridiculous.
No. All right. Misty wants more of a plot. He says that Diamond and Pearl had a lot of good ideas, but from what he could tell, they could take it up a notch. Emerald did this very well, so I don't think that's a tough request. And I gotta definitely agree with them. I mean, I think they could definitely add something more.
That probably happened with the third installment.
We've got to say here, though, that Diamond and Pearl has probably had the best plot of any Pokemon game up to this point.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Plus, they've also been able, they have more hardware and memory to work with, so they can add more of a plot, more of a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And with the third installment always being the best of the three in most cases, it'll be kind of interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah. All right. PH, I'm going to call him that so I don't butcher his name again, He wants customizable outfits, as in Pokemon Battle Revolution. He wants a new battle frontier. He wants some more ways of Wi-Fi battling. He wants some better animations. He wants more of a plot, as Misty wanted. He wanted around 250 Pokemon available for capture prior to the National Dex. I don't know about that, because they already have the thing set up with the Shinnoh Dex. And yeah, he wants gym leaders and Elite Four rematches with new Pokemon. So basically expanding upon what Emerald had with gym leaders calling you up and battling you again.
Does he want a kitchen sink as well?
Yeah.
I guess.
Does he want Moss's family?
You know, there's no reason why they can't put that in these games, the way memory is now.
Well, yeah, there's no reason why they
can't. Think about what franchise this is.
If it's a realistic ask,
true,
are they going to devote enough programs to actually put that much in?
I mean, yeah, this isn't Square or Enix.
Once the game engine's pretty much set, you can pretty much add anything you want as far as outside extras.
Well, there's some things in there that would actually involve changing the game engine.
Well, that's true.
The ones that don't, though, yeah, there's no reason why they couldn't put all those in if they wanted
and
to.
They, like we've been saying the last couple of questions, we might see something like that, some sort of an expansion of sorts on the third version.
Yeah, touch wood.
Yes.
Might. Please. Don't quote us.
No.
Might?
Keyword, might.
Indeed.
It would be nice.
Yes. It's one of those you-never-know type of deals, but I'd say wait until the third installment.
I've got a really quick question related to sort of what we're talking about.
Go ahead, fire away.
Do you think the programmers ever talk to any of the fan base to get input?
I wouldn't be surprised. They're real human beings. They live in Japan. They more than likely do know someone.
If they talk to only people in Japan, they're only going to get the Japanese mindset for the gaming.
True.
And that mindset is way different than, let's say, the United States or the UK or anywhere else for that matter.
I'd really be guessing they probably only do talk with the Japanese game base, because who usually translates and brings them over? Nintendo of North America for the Americas here, right?
Yeah, but they work with the game programmers to help translate it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't they do the same thing to get input from the people who actually play the game?
Well, it all really depends on what kind of people the programmers are. If they're really open-minded and open to suggestions, then yes, you know, they might. But if they're a bunch of guys to sit around and say, hey, you know, we know what we're doing, we don't want any outside influence from any foreigners, which could be a possibility.
Well, given that they're Nintendo programmers, I'm more than willing to say that they're probably not looking for input from people outside the company.
Yeah.
They might.
Is very close.
Well, Game Freak is not completely Nintendo, though, is it?
Well, not completely, but let's put it this way. While they may read some of what the fans say on forums and such, and let's keep in mind here that as far as fan forums go in Japan, there's not really many. They're not to the size and scale that we have with things like Bob Gunn, Poker Community, and CeraVe.
Right.
I mean, they've got they might look on 2chan, and they might look, Futaba-chan.
Yeah.
And they probably look on forums of sites like the ones we're always linking to for Bulbin News when we get sourced news from Japan. Some of those do have forums, but again, like I said, they're not really big. So even if they do read them, there's not much going to be happening there.
Right, and even if they do want to make these changes, who's to say that they have the programming time and manpower to do it? Because sometimes, actually, most real big games towards the end are really rushed to get out there.
Yeah.
Especially, like, take, for example, the Zelda franchise. Anyone who's gone through all that daggum ocean in Wind Waker knows things happen when the programmers do not have the time to complete the game.
Exactly. Tons of glitches. All right. Great Liver, who was just on, wants to see Gold, Silver, Crystal incorporated more into the third version of Diamond and Pearl. Seeing as how Diamond and Pearl takes place at the same time as the original Gold, Silver, Crystal, it would be cool to see what happened to Johto right after you, the hero, or Gold, Silver, Crystal beat it back then. It may give insight into the collapse of Team Rocket. That's very interesting. Really?
Yeah, actually, that's a very interesting comment he's made there. Do we actually have confirmation that it happens at exactly the same point in the timeline as Gold, Silver, Crystal?
I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's just fan speculation that everyone's taking as canon, but I don't think we actually have proof of that.
Rumor does run rampant and wild in this community.
I heard something from somewhere that it was during the same time frame. Now, not exactly the same time or whatever, but...
Well, it can't be the same time frame because you've got Jasmine there. She can't leave her gym alone like that, and obviously... Well, let's put it this way. She's at her gym in Gold, Silver, Crystal, so
okay,
she couldn't be...
Probably right after the league in Gold, Silver, Crystal. No.
It has to be after. It can't be before.
But, I don't know. It said something about back to your roots in the promos, okay? Now, how you want to refer to that and what you want to read into that is up to you.
As I said in the last cast, there's a lot of things that can be read into something that just aren't there. But you really, unless you actually have complete concrete, this is what it is type of proof or evidence.
Well, what's been released here, and I mean, has been so vague. You don't have but what they told us. I don't read Japanese very well.
Well, I do know from what I've heard that the information has that we've been given here so far on the pages, and like the official Pokemon page, has not been as well covered as the Kurokuro were.
Right,
it's not even approaching it.
No. We get very limited information. I get pre-release information, and Diamond and Pearl noise has been almost non-existent.
Yeah.
Most of the actual promotion and build-up of the Pokemon games at this point is really done through the fan sites. Nintendo did not spend huge amounts of money on advertising of these things outside of Japan.
And that's a shame, because this is a game that actually could seriously sell, and I really hope that at least in the next month or two, Nintendo Power has it on the cover and covers the game.
Yeah, but you got to realize now, whatever you see in Nintendo Power, 3 months out of date.
Mm. Well, we're approaching the time in which the game should be released. When was the release date? April?
April.
April 22nd.
Yes, we have just like 2 months of Nintendo Power left before, you know, to mention the game and have a
Nintendo
spread.
Power. For April, for that time frame, has already been written and is sent to the printers.
Ouch.
All right. Infinite Sceptile basically just wants to see the legendary Pokemon incorporated further into the plot. Heateran, Giratina, and Cresselia. And finally, and pardon me for mispronouncing this, Tardis Glomper? He or she goes into... detail with the plot. Giratina's DP's Rayquaza completes the trifecta of legendaries. I may just be an avid sci-fi fan, but I'd like to see Opal, that's what he/she thinks is going to be the third version, deal with at least something to do with parallel universes or the afterlife, or even better, having Team Galaxy release both Dairuga and Parakia to create an alternate universe. I wanted that to happen from the start, but if it doesn't, meh, I'll just write a fic.
Wow.
So yeah, that was a very good response. Very well detailed, very well thought out.
Well, actually, for some reason it doesn't happen, we'll be waiting in anticipation for your fic.
Yeah. I would like to see them focus.
Post it up on the Bubblegum Library.
Yeah. I'd like to see them focus a lot less on these legendaries. They're not that big of a deal.
In game terms, no, they're not. They underpower them because they have to, because if you don't, then you can't actually beat them. But they're still overpowered in one-on-one fights.
This mindset that I gotta have the legendaries. I can't do anything. I can't be strong without them, and that's just wrong.
I have never completed a Pokemon game with legendaries. I have always completed them with the team I built up myself.
Every game that I played... You know, where you had a chance to catch a legendary?
Mm-hmm.
I went through all the steps, right? Got it down to one or two hit, you know, HPs.
Yeah.
And you know what I always ended up doing?
Fainting them.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Fainting it.
I've done that.
It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal. I just turned around and walked away because it wasn't that important. Now, I was attempting to complete my Pokédex, yeah, I would have been mad. But at that particular time, I wasn't thinking of that.
Right. You know, you're playing it like an RPG.
I'm playing it like an RPG. I'm training my Pokemon. I'm using the ones that I've caught or was given, depending on if I'm using a starter or not, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not out there for the power grab. I'm out there to enjoy
the game.
Yep.
You know, if you want to go and collect afterwards, you know, that's all nice and good. But, you know, on my first
there is a menu choice on there to start a new game. If you want to do that, hey, there's that menu choice for you.
Yep.
You know?
All right.
That's my opinion, anyway. Okay.
On that same line of thought, I would really like to see it possible to go through the game without having your main focus being win the league. Why can't we have a game where your main focus is the contests?
Ooh.
You might battle, but that might just be the sideline.
We talked about something like this in a Bulbacast a while back, somewhere
quite a while back, yeah.
Mid-range of season one.
Mm,
we were talking about having two choices of how your game plays, whether you go on a contest fork or the battling league fork.
That's extra playability.
Yes, and please let it not be that if you choose the guy, you go battling, choose the girl, go.
No, it would have to be both choices, both ways. You can use your character still and choose your path.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, a lot of games have chosen that sort of lazy option, and I just really would not want to say that.
And it also kind of caters to the fans again. And when I say catering to the fans, I am specifically referring to the female out there.
The women do the contest, the men do the battling.
The way they see it. And
yes.
Hey, hint, hint, programmers. Two paths to choose from in the third version of this generation, please. Thank you.
And both paths available to male and female.
Yes,
it's not all girls or girly girls.
Character you choose to play.
All right. There are going to be two questions for next week's cast. The first question is, you're given the choice to write the next Pokemon movie. Now, we already have movie 10, what that's going to be about, and movie 11 is probably going to be in the drawing board. But let's go to movie 12. You're chosen to write movie 12. What do you write it about? I'd like to hear your thoughts, and please, hopefully, let's make some creative responses. I know I shouldn't have to explain this, but really, you know, I don't want any romance.
Romance generally goes away from a G rating. Keep it G rated. No romance. We're talking unless it's the bond between the trainer and his Pokemon, and that's not romance. That is just how it goes in Pokemon.
Friendship.
Romance is a way to end a series.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Let's put it that way.
All right. And the second question that I want to ask is, in suppose you make a 3D version. People have always talked about the full 3D RPG that they really want to come out, not counting Colosseum, not counting Extra Dimension. What do you make the full 3D game about? Because unlike the handheld games, you have to think of something a lot more detailed. This is basically sink or swim. So what do you make that about? I think that's all we have, because we don't want to have to cut out too much. So why don't we go with final thoughts?
Sounds good.
Start with Archaic.
Final thoughts. I don't exactly have a final thought for this week. Nothing special, unfortunately. I don't know. People, watch for our upcoming competition. We've got a real doozy for you. Not just a Bobagun one. Something that we're all collaborating on here.
Satoshi-kun, of course, besides visiting the Bulbagarden chat at irc.systemnet.info.
Of course. My final thoughts would have to be Pika, Pika, Pee.
And PPN?
All right, my final thoughts is, mirroring what Archaic said, we have a surprise coming up here for you in the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that. And we hope you pick up the Bulbacast every week. We do this, you know, for you, for your fans out there, so hope you enjoy it, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, I have no final thoughts, so why don't we say our goodbyes? Bye, everyone.
Right. See you later.
Sayonara.
Janemina. Matarai shune.